Sanhedrin, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Dalet 7:4. And now that the Mishnah has enumerated the four ways in which execution can be carried out by the courts, it will go on over a number of prakim to describe the various averos, the transgressions, which are potentially punishable by death. So first here in Mishnah Dalet, we're going to talk about the 18 different crimes which are punishable by skila, again, assuming that you have witnesses and warning and all the rest of it. In total, there'll be 36 los ases, prohibitions which have death penalties. So 18 of the 36 are with skila. Later on, we'll discuss sreifa. That'll be another 10. And then we'll get to hereg, beheading, which will be 2 more. And finally, chenek, strangulation, 6 more, for a total of 18 plus 10 is 28. Plus 2 is 30, plus 6 is 36, a total of 36. Okay, so here in our Mishnah Dalet, we're going to list all 18 of the niskalin, people who are stoned, if all the conditions are met. The Elohana niskalin, these are the following skila crimes. Habala aim, one who sleeps with his mother. This doesn't need to be his father's wife, it could just be someone who's never was married to his father but gave birth to him. Val Esha Sa'av, and also the woman who's married or even was married to his father. So again, doesn't need to be his mother. It could be his stepmother or even his ex-stepmother. Mishnah later on will discuss what happens if she's both his mother and his father's wife at the same time, like a normal conventional family. And we'll see there that actually there could be two, a double punishment there. We'll see shortly, Bez Hashem. Third is Va'al HaKala. Kala is one's daughter-in-law. So if one's son was ever married to a woman, so then he may never marry her, sleep with her. Just to speak out, we'll see. Fine, we'll see more in a moment. Bala Zahur, on a man, if a man sleeps with another man, as if it's his wife. Bala Behema, if a man sleeps with an animal, as if it's his wife. Va'isha Hameviya Esa Behema, and same goes if a woman sleeps with an animal as if it were her husband. So those are six. In total, we'll have 7. There'll be one more later on that deals with prohibited relations. There'll be the Nar Maras in a moment. Then we're going to have now 8 that are to deal with, you know, infidelity to Hashem. So we have Hamigadef, that is the one who curses Hashem. We'll detail exactly what it is in a whole Mishnah coming up next, Bez Hashem. Va'ovid Avodah Zarah, one who worships idols, false gods. Again, we'll describe that in detail in another Mishnah. Vahanosin Mizaro Lamolech, one who passes his children over to and through the fire for the rite, the idolatrous practice, Canaanite practice, called passing one's children over to Molech. Again, we'll discuss that in a whole, at least in half, a Mishnah coming up soon. Uval Ov V'Yadoni. These are two separate things. One who performs the fortune-telling techniques called Ov and Yadoni. Both those will explain also in half a Mishnah. Coming up soon, Be'ez Hashem. So those are 8. Those are 5 of the 8 that had to do with infidelity to Hashem. Then you have a Machalis Shabbos, that stands alone, one who desecrates Shabbos. We won't discuss that here, but it means one who does any of the 39 Malachos Doraisa. Then you have V'Hamakalel Aviv V'Imo, one who curses either his mother or his father. That's one law between the two parents, father and mother. And here it means that you're basically invoking Hashem's name to curse one's parents. V'habal anara hamorasa. This is the 7th. It was separate from the other 6 of the forbidden relationships. It means one who sleeps with a na'ara hamorasa. Na'ara means a young girl, specifically a girl who is past bas mitzvah, so she's 12 years old, but she's in the first 6 months after that, so between 12 and 12 and a half under normal circumstances. Hamorasa means that she is legally married because she accepted Kedushin from her husband, but she is not functionally married. She never lived with him. She still lives at home, but she's legally married to him. So that's considered to be sort of especially bad by the Torah, that she's both so young in her prime and also hasn't even ever been, like, you know, functionally married. She lives still with her parents. So one who sleeps with such a woman who's not the husband also we subject to skila. So this 7th one is separate from the other 6 forbidden relationships, ostensibly because those 6 are listed in Achrimos Kadoshim, whereas this is separated totally in the Torah and is in Parshas Kisetze. Okay, then you have the last 3 of the 8 that deal with infidelity to Hashem. You have hamesis, that's someone who turns another Jew away from Hashem to serve idols. Vahamediach, this is really the same kind of thing, except instead of turning an individual, this person turned aside an entire city. The Irha Nidachas, it's the same word in Mediach, so he turns aside a city towards idol worship. And finally, Vahamachashef, the sorcerer or the sorceress, like a witch, someone who participates in witchcraft, wizardry and the like, that is also prohibited and midoraisa, but the strongest of all penalties, the skila penalty. Okay? And finally, we have Uvensoru More. The Bensoru More, this is a person who meets a bunch of criteria, you probably know it already, or many of them, that he is gluttonous and disobeys his parents and does some other stuff. We actually have a whole perek, the eighth perek, basically, the next perek, will largely be dedicated to elaborating on the halachas of the Bensoru More, but we'll wait to there to see it. So those are 18. Again, just summing up, you have 7 that are forbidden relationships, you have 8 that are infidelity to Hashem for a total of 15, you have 2 that are sort of like terrible irreverence to one's parents, that's the Mechal, one who curses his parents, or the Ben Sor Mora, and then finally we have the Mechal Shabbos. Okay, so now the Mishnah turns to consider what happens if you do 2 of these averes at the same time. So the basic answer is going to be that you have to be punished twice. Now, obviously, if you're being killed, God forbid, so then there's only, a person only has one life. So there's no possibility of a second execution, obviously. But in all these cases, so the penalty when the conditions aren't met for execution, but a person acted intentionally, b'mezid, so the consequences are kares, divine excision, premature death. And if one does a crime that the penalty is kares, but he does it b'shogeg, inadvertently, he didn't know it was forbidden, meaning he thought he was marrying some random woman, but turned out to be his mother, or he didn't know it was Shabbos today, and it was Mechal Shabbos, and the like. So then that person is liable to bring a chatas, a sin offering. So the double punishment here that we're considering is not dying twice, obviously, but rather having to bring 2 separate korbanos, each a chatas, 2 chatos, to atone for 2 of crimes, 2 averes that were transgressed at the same time. So we have a few examples of this. The reason we give a few examples is because there's machlokas regarding them. So the first is habala aim, chayvale mishum aim, umishum eshesav. If one sleeps with his mother, and the mother is married to the fellow's father, so that is really potentially 2 separate averas at least. And one is chayvale mishum aim. First of all, it's his mother. So that's already allowed. So if that was an accident, so that would be liable for, make him liable for 1 chatas. And umishum eishes av. Second of all, this woman was married to his father. And if a woman is married to one's father, he can never sleep with that woman ever, regardless of if the father's still married, the father's still alive, and like, it doesn't make a difference. So in this case, he'd be liable 2 chatos, because you have 2 separate, distinct prohibitions. Rebuto omer eino chayv elach mishum Ha'aim bilvad. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's only 1 chatas we brought, just for one's mother. He based this on a pasuk, because the pasuk, which says, Ervas avicha ve'ervas imcha loisigale, imcha hi. The pasuk says, I don't know, the nakedness of your father and the nakedness of your mother you will not reveal. So he understands that the nakedness of your father is your father's wife. Ervas imcha is your mother. And loisigale, you may not reveal, I don't know, you can't sleep with him. And then it says, Imchahi, she is your mother. So the fact that the Pasuk said that tells you that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that if she's, even if both your father's wife and your mother, she's considered mother, 1 crime. Okay? The Chacham disagree with that, Drasha, because they understand that Erva Savich is referring to your father himself. So there's a prohibition against, you know, marrying your mother and prohibition against marrying your father. 2 separate things. You can't sleep with either one of them. Okay. That's the first machlokas. The second one is Habal Ashes Av, one who sleeps with his father's wife. Okay? So now assume that they're still married. This is called one's stepmother. One sleeps with the stepmother, and she's still married to his father. Then Chayav Aleh Mishum, there's 2 obligations. First, Mishum Ashes Av. First of all, it's his father's wife. And also Mishum Eshes Ish. Also, she's just a married woman in general, and that's a separate provision all to itself. Eshes Ish carries with the penalty not of skila, in fact, but just of of chenek, strangulation, but that's the point. The point is, if you bring chatos, there's two chatos to be brought. And I should speak out for a second that in the previous case, if the woman is your mother and she's still married to your father and she's still married, so then you actually have three boxes that you tick, all three of these boxes. Okay. Now, the prohibition of sleeping with one's father's wife applies bein b'chai ha'aviv, whether one's father's still alive, bein la'achar misas aviv, even if one's father's dead, his stepmother, his late father's wife, whatever it is, always remains prohibited with this penalty. Bein min ha'erusin or bein min nesuin. It also doesn't matter whether the marriage was just a legal marriage of erusin, meaning that he gave her the ring, let's say, but they didn't ever live together. Bein min nesuin. Or if they were actually married normally in a functional marriage. Similarly, habal kalaso, if one sleeps with his daughter-in-law, chayv aleha mishum kalaso, first of all, it's a prohibition of one's daughter-in-law, umishum eshes ha'ish, also if she's still married to the fellow's son, so then she's now also a married woman, so you again have a double prohibition, and you have to bring two chataos. Beim b'chay b'no, whether we're talking about during the life of one son, beim la'achar misas b'no, even if the son's dead, so meaning... yeah, just like that. Bein min ha'erusin or bein min nesuin. Whether the marriage actually was fully consummated and they were living together as husband and wife as nesuin, or even just erusin, just she had accepted the shava prut of the money from him, whatever it is. So just to speak this out, to illustrate this point, I want to make sure it's clear. You have a woman who is totally... Avram has no relation to this woman. He meets her and he thinks, should I marry her or should I let my son marry her? And then they decide to flip a coin. And and they flip a coin, and the son wins. So the son gives her the coin; it's his coin, let's say, and she accepts it. So now she is her et mekudesh li b'koin zu. She's married to the son, and then a second later, lightning strikes, and the son is dead. So then, essentially, that means now still the father, Avram, can't marry this woman, even though he could have married her 5 seconds ago. What's happened is just that she accepted a coin from the son. Now the son's dead. It was just a coin. But now that she was mekudeshes to the son, so she's forever forbidden to the father, and will penalty under penalty of skila, like I said. Okay, fine. Now the Mishnah continues on. We're really focusing now on the animal part of this. So abala zahur, one who sleeps with a man. That's just why it's even being requoted here is not clear. Vala behema, if one sleeps with the animal, vala isha hamevia leb, excuse me, vala isha hamevia es habehema, and similarly goes if a woman sleeps with an animal. So in both those cases, the point is going to be that not only is the person who slept with the animal executed, but also the animal is executed. And actually makes me think, sorry, I should have said this before. In the previous relations, we had those 7 prohibited relationships before. If like a man sleeps with a woman and she's forbidden to under these penalties, so if assuming that she was agreeable to the whole situation, so she's punished just like him. If she wasn't agreeable and he forced her, then certainly she's not punished, okay? But the point is that both the couple are punished if they both were bemazed. And if they both were beshogeg, they'd both bring chatos offerings. Okay, fine. So there's the point here now is that we're killing not just the person who sleeps with the animal, but also the animal itself. And that's really bothering the Mishnah. Because the animal doesn't have a mitzvah. It's just an animal. An animal doesn't have bechira. So how can it be held accountable? Why is it being killed? That's the question here. So it says, im adam chata. Okay, given I accepted that the person did some major sin here. Behema mechatas. But what did the animal do? What sin did it do? So then the question, implicit question is, so why is the animal being killed? It says, the gemishna, el lefi shabas la'adam takala al yada. Since this animal was the agent that brought destruction upon a human being, a person, he stumbled through it. Lefichach amar kasav tisakel. Therefore, it's a gezeiras hakasav from the pasuk of this animal, which was sort of lost its chuskiyam. It's the source of great embarrassment. So it shouldn't happen again with another or whatever person. So this animal is going to be also stoned. Now, davar acher, a second reason that the Mishnah supplies why the animal is killed is really for the sake of the dignity, if you will, of the person who's executed. Shelo teheya behema overes b'shuk, so that the goat that we're talking about here shouldn't walk around in the marketplace. Viomru, and people who see it will say, Zuhi sheniskal ploni alida. Zuhi niskal ploni alida. That people point to the goat and say, oh, you remember that crazy guy Ploni who married the goat? Well, there's the goat. Because that will remind people about you know, Ploni and his downfall and his embarrassed situation, and therefore to save that, you know, for the sake of his dignity, we'll also get rid of the goat as well.